Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
This is Jonathan with the More Than Just an Interview podcast, along with my trendy, innovative, multi-talented, multifaceted co-host, Z Rose Go, in the building. The More Than Just an Interview podcast is just what it says. It's more than just an interview. We discuss trending topics in the world of business, entertainment, music, technology, but from a very cool Generation Z with an old school throwback feel to it, because we just talking straight talk. We don't subscribe to any kind of specified opinion, nor do we discuss things from a slanted point of view. We don't have a battery in our back from a corporate just machine saying, hey, say this or say that. These are just honest thoughts that we feel are the same emotions and thoughts of regular people every single day. All right. So today we got a packed show. We're talking about a lot of trending topics. For instance, we're about to jump into the whole Drake versus Kendrick Lamar beef, the validity of it. Did it elevate hip hop? Does hip hop really need beef in 2024? We're also going to tap into, obviously, we can't escape the elephant in the room, the Diddy tapes. Obviously, that's everywhere. And it's something that is trending worldwide. And it's, you know, and you'll get to hear our fresh perspective on that particular matter as well. All right. I want to introduce Zoe Rosego. Zoe Rosego, introduce yourself to the world, boss.
What's good, everybody? This is Zoe Rose Gold. It's great to be back. It felt like it's been a minute, but I'm an entrepreneur. I am a educator, a healer, and I host many podcasts with Radio Pushers. So I'm happy to be here.
No doubt about it. All right, first thing we're going to do, we're going to highlight one of the product sponsors that we have for the show. We're going to give a big shout out to BET Plus. If you have not gotten that BET Plus app downloaded to your phone and subscribe to them for $9.99 a month, I think it's $10.99 a month now. But you need to. Here's why. BET Plus in the building right now. We're about to tap into that. Here we go. There is only one place where you can go and actually stream real black culture on TV, and that's the BET Plus app. From movies, sitcoms, to original content created by super innovative producers, legendary producers like Tyler Perry, you will find endless content. The BET Plus app is the most complete solution outside of cable. Actually, in my opinion, it replaces cable from a big way, except for YouTube TV. Shout out to YouTube TV. But BET Plus, the BET Plus app is what you need if you want to stay connected to the culture and see dope content 24 hours a day. Download the BET Plus app right now on any device, Android or iPhone or iPad on your TV. Let's get it. BET Plus app, stream premium black culture on TV 24/7. Let's get it. Now back to our regular scheduled programming on 99.7 The Heat Miami, officially a part of the iHeartRadio family. All right, people, there you go. Shout out to BET Plus. Download that app right now. More Than Just an Interview podcast in the building, streaming it on iHeartRadio. All right, so Drake and Kendrick. This situation, in my opinion, Z, goes deep from a lot of ways. And I'm going to save my point in like 5 to 6 minutes tops.
Okay.
I feel that there's a lot of, and I only see this in black music, where people cannot be successful without tearing each other down. Mm. And we say battling is a part of the culture. Battling to me means you put your skill set up against my skill set, and we are rapping, and we are going to keep everything wax related and skill related. Since Biggie and Tupac, it went left, because before Biggie and Tupac, LL Cool J, Cool Moe Dee, you know, KRS-One, different people that beef for different people, it had a certain, it had different boundaries than before. In this particular beef here, we know beef fuels so many sales, so much music now, so many download streams, millions of dollars. But to me, the thing that bothered me, Z, the most was that you have people talking and calling each other pedophiles, people calling each other, you beat on your girl, you got domestic violence, all these ugly secrets. I didn't hear any substance regarding rapping. I think that when Drake and Meek were beefing, Drake hit him with those bars. When he said, oh, you got a ghostwriter, he did back to back. Everybody loved it because it was bar related. He didn't say Meek had a drug problem, even though Meek later admitted that he was taking a lot of Molly back in the day. He was underneath the influence of different things, but he just kept it on wax. I think that in conclusion, to me, it doesn't serve any, nobody's going to remember this beef and say, remember when Kendrick Drake went at it? He was talking about, he was a pedophile. He was talking about he'd be on his girl. He was saying that he not the greatest. Like, these guys are etched in stone in hip hop history. These guys are multimillionaires. Obviously, Drake is the bigger artist when it comes to just numbers, but they're both iconic in their own way. So, what is the end? What's the starting point, and what's the end game for this? And especially when you're talking about how does it impact, you know, hip hop? Did it elevate it? To me, this didn't elevate it. All it did was show that Black Generation Z music culture is hungry for battle, hungry for war. And you saw somebody at Drake's, some Drake's bodyguard got shot in the front of his house. You know, because of all that, you know, somebody like it's not to me. And that's why I appreciated J. Cole bowing out. And he took a lot of flack for that, but he was really the smartest. And Benny the Butcher said it too. You know, it was like, why am I going to sit there and just down somebody else? J. Cole can rap, period. Mm-hmm. He can rap, period. That don't change. No matter what you say about him or try to go against him. You can say what you want to about Drake. He can rap, obviously. You know what I'm saying? So, like, what can you say to take away from that besides if you're just going to battle? So, to me, it got over personal. It didn't represent anything positive, and it took away from both artists went in a direction where all we heard was gossip on wax. And it was like, who can, even with Rick Ross saying, hey, white boy, like, you had the same white boy on four of your biggest hits. Like, you know, Dice Pineapple, Dice Pineapple, Aston Martin Music, Lemon Pepper Freestyle. They did the record with Khaled. Like, you acting like this dude didn't help you. You know, without Drake singing on Dice Pineapples and Aston Martin Music is not a record.
Right.
It's not a record. He has more number ones than you. And true. You got to realize, like, you call him a white bull, but you were a correction officer. So. Mm. And took somebody's identity. So I'm just saying, like, when did being biracial matter? Like, I don't listen to Eminem music, but you can't deny his greatness. You know what I'm saying? So those are my thoughts. What's your thoughts, boss? What's your thought?
Okay. Yeah, those are good points. Number one, what is number one? Okay. I have a couple points, but hip hop is hip hop. You know, hip hop has, from its origin, has always been battle rap. You know, that's how it's always been. It's like a combat sport, you know, so it's not for the weak at heart, you know. So that's just how I feel about hip hop. Not all black music is like that. Even though they try to make R&B like that, we don't want people talking about love and fighting. So that's not what we want. But hip hop is what it is. That's part of hip hop, and it'll always be that, because that was his essence. I think that the beef was stupid. I was trying to figure out how it started, you know. But I think overall music sales are down, and the only way now for people to get attention or become number one is to be like, hey, look at me, and do something for people to look at them. So a lot of this is orchestrated, I think, you know. Even if it wasn't, it's just needed for people to get attention when it comes to music nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But with just overall, I think there's always a underlying beef between dark skin and light skin in our community, in the Black community, especially with,
I agree with that.
You know, let's go back to New Jack City when he said, I never liked your pretty, you know what I'm saying? And it's just what it is sometimes, because some people may say, well, how is this little light-skinned boy becoming the Michael Jackson of rap?
Right.
Because he has tied Michael Jackson with the number one hits. He's equaled him.
He just broke it actually today.
But go ahead. He broke it.
He broke it today.
Newsflash, he broke Michael Jackson record. Yeah. Drake has broken Michael Jackson
longest record. The longest stint on Billboard charts with the most number ones, most number one albums, most number one singles over the past decade. So
right.
He did all that. Go ahead.
You know, yeah, because look at rap. Like, who do we know the big ballers in rap? You know, like, you know, we know Jay, we know Tupac, we know Biggie. Those are just the main guys. But he looks different. Drake looks different. His style is different. He mostly talks about love. You know, LL is like that. You know, but Drake has this biracial swag. He's biracial. So, you know, that sometimes that's not accepted. And we got to be real about that, because from what I've seen sometimes, and they've talked about it in different other podcasts I've heard. I don't want to mention, you know, but you've heard people say, oh, the light skinned guys, oh, you soft, you this, mm-hmm. you mellow, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's always an underlining thing in our community. So when you talking about this light skinned boy is like the kid is the hip hop, the Michael Jackson of rap, then some people might catch feelings about that. You know, some people might have problems with that. So I think it was a combination of maybe it was orchestrated, I don't know, or maybe it was like, hey, people trying to get attention. And then I think there was a little bit of, yo, why is this light-skinned kid, you know, he can't even rap, he's soft, why is he like number one in rap right now? So I think people have feelings about that, and you know, that's my take on it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, to me, Steve Harvey always says that a dog only barks at a car that's moving. You know, he never barks at a parked car. To me, you know, nobody has a problem, you know what I'm saying, until there is a problem. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you're, like when everything was in the beginning, when he was on Everybody Records, he was on, Kendrick was trying to get bubbling for a minute, and then they did the record Swimming Pool. Turn up, drain, pull up, drain. You know, mm-hmm. Drake on there, boom, he got more traffic. And then Kendrick is Kendrick, not taking on the weight. But there are two different style artists, two different style makeups. But most importantly, though, like, when you have a person that's dominating the globe with number one album, and then he's making music that people are playing at weddings and clubs and and white girls are playing, Latino girls are playing, Chinese girls playing. Like, it's a different thing when everybody's saying Hotline Bling and One Dance and all this other stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could just go through the catalog over and over again. But not only that, but he's breaking new artists as well. So to me, the jealousy comes with the success. Because if people don't see you, when people see you as a competition, they see you as a threat. When they see you as a threat, they want to eliminate you. You know, that's just part of the game. That's part of, that's just the art of war. So, but when I see a old guy like Kanye West saying, we want to take down Drake, like, you have enough on your plate right now. Yeah, he said on Justin Lat Boy's podcast, like, we were all excited to take down Drake. Like, name the genre where white people, Chinese people, Latino people get together and say, ooh, we want to take down Willie Nelson.
Right.
Ooh, right. we want to take down Aerosmith. Like, to me, it's the dumbest thing in the world, because what you mean take him down? Like, what exactly does that mean? And what does it look like? Like, nobody plays his music. He's damaged. Like, to me, it's such a contradiction of, man, we need to all get together. We can build. We can do this. Right. You know what I'm saying? We can do this. We can do that. Like, what happened to all of that? What happened to building? And we can build hospitals. We can build communities. We can pull together. The only people that win, and won in this case, was Universal Music Group, UMG. Because everybody signed to them. Everybody falls beneath the UMG umbrella. So Drake did 25 million YouTube views on his song Family Matters and did 100 million streams. Well, the labels, the parent company and the label's going to bust that down with the money. And then they're going to take that and split it. So it's like, but what did it do? It's all a numbers game. And at the end of the day, nobody's going to stop playing Drake's music or stop buying his music or stop going to his shows. But to see people aiming at one guy, I didn't like that. I didn't like Rick Ross. I didn't like Rick Ross out the blue. Like, you got no motivation to go at nobody else but this guy.
Right.
Like, what's the motivation? Like, and then when Game comes at you with a diss, you don't say nothing. So we know what that means, because you don't want to get in the ring with a guy like him.
Right.
Because you know he's not going to stop. And you can't, but to play the race card with a guy that's biracial is stupid. Like, I never understood that. You can play the race card with Eminem, cool. But you're not going to go put a diss rap against him. I've never seen too many people do that. Now, that's crazy to me, right? Think about this for a second. This is a good point. I want your insight on this. How many people have actually done a diss record against Eminem that are black? I'm curious. Ja Rule, but we know that. Keep going.
Okay. Wasn't there this... I'm talking about how many
black people. I know we've had MGK did one, Machine Gun Kelly. We know about that, but he's white, so that doesn't count. I'm saying how many black rappers have actually put out a diss against
him? I think there was this one rapper from his hometown, but I can't remember his name.
Okay, so to me, if we can't remember, it must have been a blip on the radar. What I'm saying is that this goes back. This goes back to our double standard, right? You have black people dissing black people. But then Eminem, who y'all behind the scenes are jealous of, you never say nothing against him. Only person that came at him was Benzino and Ja Rule.
Benzino, yeah.
Right, and nobody cares what Benzino says. Like, he has no impact in hip-hop, period. That's what I'm trying to say. Look at the dynamic, Zeke, because you know you're a very deep psychological person. Does that not throw off a red flag for you?
I mean, it does, and I see what you're saying. But then that can also be because the people that the rap sales are mostly from white people. White people buy rap music more than anyone else. So if you might be shooting yourself in the foot if you're going to diss the biggest white rapper. Because then, you know, if they say, oh, what you doing? And then they're like, all right, we ain't buying his stuff. You bankrupt.
Okay, so if that is true, but let's just say what you said is true. If what you said is true, then that's contradictory to you saying the rap is based on battling. Because if we talking about battling, if we talking about who the best, and you have some, well, what I'm saying is based on how they presented themselves, like especially like Rick Ross, hey white boy, you're a white boy, like he's biracial. Mm-hmm. It's like you had to find something to pick a fight. It's almost like, you know what, I don't like that kid. You never heard Drake say nothing negative about Rick Ross. But what I'm saying is, here's mm-hmm. a Rick Ross, former correction officer, only guy in history to be part of law enforcement, go against mm-hmm. this guy and say, hey, white boy, mm-hmm. you got a BBL. Like, why are you even talking about he got a BBL when you need one? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
No, what I'm saying is that you go against somebody who's, say he did get it. It worked. So it don't matter. Mm-hmm. But we don't know if he did or not. The point I'm making is you're scratching for something to criticize and be derogatory with, but yet and still, you have somebody in the coach who's already white that raps, but you didn't say nothing about him. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's never been but two black people that ever dissed Eminem.
Well, to me, it's different. What's his name? Slim. Eminem says we know he's white. He says he's white. He acknowledges that. I mean, there's not, but Drake is more so, people look at him as like, oh, he's trying to be down with us, but he's not really one of us. That's Kendrick's whole song. They not right. like us.
Right. So, but how can that even be though, when you look at the fact that is, when we talk about music, Drake never tried to integrate himself into a blood set or a hood set. Think about this for a minute, right? Uh-huh. Music is you. Think about this. Kendrick Lamar is not a gang member. He's not a street guy. He's just a rapper, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So what is like us? Just you saying because he's not 100% black? That doesn't even make sense to me. Where is the not like us? Like, where you saying us? If you have black in you, you're black.
Right. I'm just saying what I believe is going on.
No, you know, I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
So if he, whatever he identifies with, if he wants to say, hey, because he can say, hey, I feel more white, then that's what I identify with. Or he can say, I feel more black, and that's up to him. But what was the question? I forgot the question. But I forgot the question.
No, what I'm saying is that when you look at the approach that he made when he said not like us, I said that being the fact when you're saying not like us, right? I mm-hmm. said, what does not like us mean? Because you're not, are you saying from his background?
I think they were saying like culturally he's not like us. He's, you know, you can take that many ways. He's Canadian. He was raised differently. He wasn't raised in the hood where most rappers are raised. You know, they were raised in lower middle class, poverty, you know, things like that, Section 8, you know, housing, you know, stuff like that. He can mean that too. So I don't know what he means exactly, but to me, I think he's saying, you know, Drake, you don't really identify with us as hip hop, you know, you don't really identify with us, and that's what I think he's probably saying. But you know, that's his opinion. You know, that's Kendrick's opinion. So,
right, but that's what I'm saying. Like when I look at the approach of him saying not like us, when somebody say not like us, I mean, everybody, you don't have to be poor. You don't have to grow up in the trenches of the trenches of the trenches to be great at something. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's contradictory whether he from a trailer park and his name is Eminem and he's the number one selling artist mm-hmm. of all time in hip hop, or he's the guy from Hollis, Queens, LL, but LL, Snoop, Dr. Dre acknowledge the significance of his skill set. What I'm saying is that we want to play the race card with us. but we don't play the race card with him. That's my point. Like, we won't play it with him, but we'll play it with us. Because of what you said earlier, they fear that, okay, if I go against that, then it's going to be because of who buys the records. You feel what I'm saying?
Oh, heck yeah. That's one of the main reasons. That's shooting yourself in the foot.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So they feel like, you know, if I go against him, then commercially, you know, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and, you know, everything's going to slow down and da-da-da-da. So, again, it goes back to the whole, let's turn each other against each other. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's why I said I respect Jake, I respect Cole for not even doing that. Because at the end of the day, what was he going to gain from that? And I think that's what he said. That's why he took it down. Be like, what am I going to gain from this at the end of the day? Like, who is it going to help?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, even though, you know, don't get me wrong, Pop may hit him up. I mean, at the end of the day, I think if he was alive right now, I think he would have took it down by now and said, nah, you know what? That record, even though it was lethal, I shouldn't talk about that man's wife like that. Let me take that down. Because he was in a, because just as much as he could be an angel, he had that rage in him. I mean, that's not his legacy. We don't think about that song when we think about his legacy. We think about a lot of other stuff. Right. You know what I'm saying? We think about... go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, this is how... I think, point blank, this is how they get attention. This is how to make record sales. I think the... what was it? Megan and Cardi? Or Megan and...
Yeah,
they had a beef, right?
It was Megan and...
No, it wasn't. Nicki. Nicki Minaj and Megan. That was all drummed up. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, because who's going to listen to it? Nobody's going to listen to it unless they make a beef. So this is just, this is a page out of Love and Hip Hop. This is a page out of Battle Rap. This is a page out of all that stuff. Like, this is a page out of the Kardashians. This is a page out of Kanye West. Like, Kanye West and 50, when they beefed against with their songs back in the early 2000s and saw how much money they made together, they wasn't really beefing. This, it was so y'all, everybody can go listen to it. And they've been doing that ever since. That's the formula. And then it dies down. Megan and Cardi, Megan and Nicki, not saying, they said terrible things about each other, about a dead woman in the funeral, in the ground. And then after that, everybody forgot about it. So who's next? Now they saying terrible things. You're a pedophile. You're this, you're that, you beat. And then in a week, we're going to be on something else. But they made their money. So I don't really think it's real beef, but they really do get disrespectful with one another. To me, it's like boxing. You know, we're going to bust each other up, and then we're going to go to the bank.
I think wrestling is a better analogy.
True. Okay.
Because, you know, boxing is real.
Boxing is
definitely real. Like, they trying to knock you out, and they're for real. Those hits are real. I agree with your point, though. That's why I say wrestling is a better analogy, because in wrestling, you know, it's like they're not really hitting you. It looks like we're hitting you.
I think boxing is real. I think, to me, it's boxing, because I think they really hitting each other. I really think they hitting each other.
Heck no, not in wrestling.
No, I'm talking about boxing. I think this is more, the analogy of boxing is I still stand by that, because I really think they really hitting each other like really bad.
Oh, okay. I got you. I see what you're
You understand?
You
they hitting each other. They saying, yo, they digging up stuff about you, talking to people and finding out the worst thing about you, and they putting it on the track. That's hitting you hard. Yeah. You know? But then they both go to the bank So you already know you gonna get hurt, but you're gonna be richer. So you gotta take the blows, you know?
Yeah, but the sad part about it, and then you know, we can pivot to the Diddy tapes, but the thing about it to me, that's like I said in my beginning statement, like when it's all said and done, nothing was really accomplished from a quality control perspective, from a content perspective. It was just like, let's throw as much glamorous dirt as we can, mud as each other, and then we're still this way. It's almost like a dirty fight. It's like I pick up a hammer, you pick up a chair. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And we'll see who dies first. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To me, it was like, oh, then all of a sudden, oh no, he won. And it's like, I'm like, even the whole he won thing, I think that's the corniest thing in the world. What you mean? Mm-hmm. Because you think the song is more popular, but the media juiced up so many. Because you have to realize too, Drake has never really taken an L in this game.
Right.
He's never really taken an L, to be quite honest. I mean, they've come for him so many times, but he's never taken an L. And I think, too, before we move on, I think that's the bigger issue, too. People want you, like, people pay money to see Floyd Mayweather lose. He's 50-0. We want him to lose. They want him to lose a card game. You know what I'm saying? Like, we want Floyd to lose something because he can't be undefeated. There's no way. He's not that good. And I think that with him, winning gets exhausting. To people. It does, because they get tired of seeing you. It's like, you know, people are glad the Bulls broke up. The Bulls could have stayed together. But people, when Kevin Durant went to the Warriors, people were mad. I thought he cheated by going there, but people were happy. People were happy when he hurt his Achilles and they didn't win. I mean, seriously, people were happy he got hurt. That's sad. But people were happy. Like, I'm glad he, you know, that's what he get. That's karma. Like, people, that's why when the, like, you take, like, this year, they got knocked out. Nobody cares. Nobody likes the Warriors anymore. They want to see them lose. Just like the Dallas Cowboys. It's a love and hate relationship. You know what I'm saying? You know, but it's polarizing, but it's necessary.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of people that want to be rappers. And if you feel like someone's eating all the cake or eating all the pie whatever, then you're like, yo, can I get a piece? You know what I'm saying? So it's just the
shine,
natural.
Man. It's that shine. They want that shine, man, because nobody wants the same guy at number one. All the time. And to me, it shouldn't matter, because here's the thing. You will never hear the majority of people say, Nas better than Jay-Z. But right, you never hear a majority of people say, "Nah, it's better than Jay-Z." But there's so many people that really believe that Nas is better than Jay-Z.
There's a ton of people. All the majority of New York thinks Nas is better than Jay-Z.
Right, but if you look at the popular bandwidth, right, just marketing, you know what I'm saying, and just the narrative with media. Like, look, for instance, Apple just put out their 100 greatest albums, and they got Lauryn Hill, Miseducation number one. I don't think that's fair.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? But that's just me though. But when you look at all the albums ranked, like, you're forgetting, how do you put The Chronic not in the top three? Like, that's crazy.
Is this the top album or the top hip hop album?
No, top albums, period, of all time. They just rank albums. I'm just saying, but list, I don't care about list, because somebody has to make it. So whoever made the list, lists don't matter to me, because those are five people's opinions out of billions of people. So lists don't really matter. I'm just saying, people like Thriller. If you're going to put that over Thriller is the greatest selling album of all time. How could you do that? It won the most awards. It was the most complete album ever. How can anything be higher than Thriller? I don't understand that. But that's just me. You can't put that album over Thriller.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Just from what it generated from that, like, you know what I'm saying, like what it meant. Billie Jean, Beat It, Lady in My Life, all that stuff, like what it generated
from. Yeah, and I mean, she stood in one Grammy night with five Grammys in her hand for that album.
Yeah, but that classic.
Yes, but her album reflects 2024 more than Thriller. more than the Thriller album, because her album has R&B, it has pop, it has soul, it has it's not even really, to me, it's not even a hip hop album, but it has hip hop. It shows her diversity. You know, it shows that she's a musician. You know, so I think it reflects more today's time than Thriller. Thriller, when you listen to Thriller, Thriller is a classic, but it sounds dated.
To me, I disagree respectfully, because to me, it ushered in a whole new, sonically, what Quincy Jones did, it ushered in a whole new sound. Because when you go back, when you get a chance, you know, because I know you're busy, when you get a chance, when you go listen to the sonic production of Billie Jean, I listened to Thriller on vinyl one time. You know, I was at somebody's house. They say, you listen to music on vinyl? I said, nah, man. I said, you know, I listen to stuff on CDs. This one, you know, I still feel CDs and, you know, stuff like that. He said, I want you to listen to Thriller on this vinyl. I was at a business associate's house.
Okay.
And they played Thriller on vinyl. And that do, 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 like, I'm thinking, wow, look how that sounds. Like, just the innovation. Because music is timeless. Like, it, like certain music is time. Let me just say great music is time. Let me put a stamp on that. You know what I'm saying? So all I'm saying is that sonically what he and Quincy were doing and the way they meshed the instruments and the percussions and the bass and the trumpets and the saxophone, you don't hear that anymore because everybody takes from what's the word I'm looking for?
Genre, decade, era.
And it's like, let me put a little bit like James Brown and Barry White and Isaac Hayes are the most sampled artists of all time. So those and their music is sampled the most out of people today. So you know what I'm saying? To make the melody right. You know what I'm saying? So to me. But anyway. But I do understand where you're coming from, though. Let's pay some bills real quick. Drop this quick Walmart. Let's talk about Walmart Plus and why you need to have Walmart Plus in your life, people. Here it is, Walmart Plus. Check it out. Highlight a sponsor. More than just interview podcast.
Everybody goes to Walmart at some point in their day, in their week, in their month, during the year, in their whole life. Walmart is a must stop destination for everybody for whatever needs you have, whether it's food, products, electronics, pharmacy, you name it, it's at Walmart for the best value that you can find on the planet. But right now we are in a time and space where everybody's working two jobs, three jobs, super busy with the kids or with your own life, school, studying, whatever it may be. You don't always have time to jump in your car and go to Walmart and buy what you need, which is why Walmart Plus is your new best friend. www.plus.walmart.com. That's plus, plus.walmart.com. plus.walmart.com. The Walmart Plus membership is the ultimate all-in-one solution for all of your shopping needs. You pay one price for the year with same-day delivery, save with free shipping, save on streaming, save at the gas pump, and rack up with Walmart Cash all day, every day. It's a win-win. Right now, we're in the stage of convenience, speed, and savings. The Walmart Plus membership does all of that for you. Again, go to plus.walmart.com and try for free for 30 days. You can't miss. It's Walmart. Walmart Plus. Tap in right now. Now back to our regular scheduled programming on 99.7 The Heat Miami, officially a part of the iHeartRadio family.
All right. So this is our closing topic for today. We're not going to exhaust it because it's been in news now since like, I think November of 2023, but this is a new twist to it. There was a videotape that was released that shows Sean John Combs actually beating, dragging, kicking, stomping, and throwing a object at his then girlfriend Cassie Ventura in 2016 at the Intercontinental Hotel in Century City in Los Angeles. The video obviously is disturbing. It sends shockwaves through the world. A lot of mixed emotions. I've seen people even defend it. I've seen people just say he's done, he's canceled. And I've seen people that were just like totally in shock because they never thought that he was capable of that. Either way, it's causing a big outcry for how much does domestic violence play a role in the entertainment business, period. Why did he do it? You know, where does he go from here? You know, the apology, the lawsuit, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, just to speak on it for like 2 minutes, you know, when you think of yourself as a god, or you think that your money or your position makes you better than someone, anybody can be capable of degrading someone. Anybody can be capable of doing things that they feel like give them a right. When you take the license to physically abuse someone, whether it be verbally or physically, that's the role you're putting yourself in. I'm a god, listen to me. You know, I'm superior than you. And in his position, where you have so much impact in people's lives and so much control with money and sway, and people look up to you, it's horrifying to know that you don't think about that before you try to talk to them or put hands on them. And the fact that, you know, here's a young woman, because at that time he did the video, he was 46 when that video came out, by the way. So you got to think about that. He was 46, he's 54 now. Well, 55. So he was well aware of things, because you're a grown, seasoned man. But that didn't stop him. And he knew there were cameras in the hallway and stuff like that, which is why he paid $50,000 to remove the tapes. Obviously, they gave her a copy. But the thing about it is, when you have daughters and you have, you know, mothers of your children, and you have a mom, and you physically, you know, destroy somebody like that, and you break them down to a point where they don't even know themselves, but you go to an event the next day smiling, that's the part that bothers me. Because you act like it never happened. Just like that. And it's a cycle of extreme narcissism and dysfunction that exists at that level. So I don't need to say how bad I feel for her, because that's universally felt. You know, you can't, there's no excusing that, or there's no trying to justify, like I heard Charleston White talking about it, which I won't even air what he said. But to me, it's just a sad day, not because he's black. It's just a sad day because this goes on every day in entertainment, you know, and it's sad. And the reason why you don't hear a lot of celebrities, like you haven't heard Fat Joe comment at all. You haven't heard Nas say anything, Jay-Z say anything, Beyonce say anything. Nobody said nothing. And I think that's the most sickening part of me, Z. None of these people say anything. My question is, why not? Those are my thoughts. What are your thoughts?
Huh. Okay. just thoughts. Well, the scariest thing about it was how he did it out in a public place, but then just the next day, just like happy and joyful, like nothing happened, you know, because I think with human beings that have emotions and that do have a sense of what's right and wrong. I think a lot of people who have a sense of right and wrong, it would be hard for them to go to the event with that, with the same person they beat up the day before. And, you know, with her having to go and smile after doing that, you know, after getting beat up, you know, after being degraded, after being dragged on a floor right. barefoot, one sock. I think, you know, like just having to do that the next day. Of course, I think most people would be a drug addict having to deal with that type of pressure and that to have to live with a person like that. And so with her, I can see her why she became a drug addict, and I can see how evil he is, you know, for going ahead and doing that, especially because she was so petite and she was so small to be able to, you know, put your force on her like that. It was like you can easily damage. That's why certain people, their hands are lethal weapons. You know what I'm saying? Because
absolutely.
Because your body, your hands, your feet can do damage to people. So you being him being a 46-year-old grown man with a girl that's, you know, she was in her 20s at the time, I believe, and being so petite, like he can really cause damage. So some people say, oh, because P. Diddy's gay, he hates women. He can be gay. He can be bisexual. He can be whatever he wants to be. You know what I'm saying? But I think when people say he's gay, he hates women, I think they put both of that together. There's many gay men that don't hate women. Majority of them don't hate women. Mm-hmm. You know, they just have a desire for a man, a sexual desire for a man. So I don't like when people put those two together. You know, because he hates women, he's gay. That doesn't go together. Mm-hmm. you know, like most people that hate women are heterosexual men because they have to deal with the women, you know, and they're, you know, those are really the ones that can explain why they hate women, because all the stuff they had to deal with women. So, you know, people have to change that about how they equate gay and hating women. But I think he's bisexual. I think he's a troubled man. And the apology was the apology. People say, oh, he didn't say her name. He's not supposed to because of
a lawsuit. The lawsuit.
They're not supposed to mention each other. Right. So that's why. So I don't care. For me, I don't really care. I'm not trying to. Nobody really can tell you, oh, if he's contrite, if he's being honest about his apology. I don't know. I don't care. You know, but I just know A plus B equals C. So I think if you commit a crime, you got to do the time, and you got to get punished somehow. So that's, to me, that's the only thing. He can be sorry or he can be not sorry. I don't care. He just have to, if you commit a crime, you just got to get a punishment. And that's what I believe and I hope happens. And that's about it for me.
Yeah. And just in conclusion, I think that when the dust settles and this will always be a topic, but I just feel like what Cat Williams said at the beginning of the year on the Club Shay Shay podcast, or the Shay Shay podcast, or Club Shay Shay podcast with Shannon Sharp. Shout out to Shannon Sharp. Great podcast is, you know, it's the year of truth. And I think everybody's scared. I think nobody wants to do any more secret parties. I think everybody's like, ooh, don't do that. You could be recorded. And I think what's crazy is these lawsuits are coming from very small people. These lawsuits aren't coming from like mainstream people. Like Little Rod is just a producer.
Right.
You know, he just some random guy. We don't know who he is. Mm-hmm. But his lawsuit, it's at the center of a bigger issue.
Right.
You know, Cassie was 19 years old when they met, and she was 21 when they started dating, but she's from Connecticut. This young, you know, woman, new to the world, new to the entertainment business. I mean, she underwent years of, you know, punishment. And people, and I got into a debate with the guys at the barbershop. Oh, she could have left. I said, bro, leaving someone who may have threatened your parents, your life, and you, if you see somebody blow up somebody's car, you do move in fear.
Yeah.
I mean, that's facts. Because you're thinking, oh, Lord, that can happen to me. Like, fear is something that is all around us. Mm-hmm. And you don't become fearless until you get tired of being fearful. Mm-hmm. That's when you become fearless. Because yes. You're saying,
amen.
Because that's when you're saying, no more. I'm going to beat this. Even if I'm going to die, I'm going to beat it. And that's how you have to train your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and that's why when she offered to say, hey, look, I'll be quiet, just pay me. And he didn't pay. Mm-hmm. There you go. He didn't think she was fearless. He thought she was still fearful. And yes. it doesn't matter now, because sometimes the simplest thing you can do, the greatest thing you can do sometimes, somebody told me this, the greatest thing you can do sometime in life is do what's not comfortable. Mm-hmm. And if you just paid the bread, nobody would have said nothing.
Right.
It's just that simple. But it was meant to be this way, because he had to learn. And I'm going to leave you with this. The key to power is never how much you have. The key to power is understanding how much you don't have. Because when when you understand that, then you know how far to go. So when people say, oh, sometimes you got to hit. OK, you hit a woman, go to jail, get a DV on your record, pay $7,000 for an attorney and try to get a job after that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, yep. People always say, Jay, why you slow down when you go over the bike trail? Because even if the biker shoots out in front of me,
mm-hmm.
and I hit him and it's not my fault, I still have to pay a lawyer to go to court to say, hey, look, it was involuntary manslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do nothing. It wasn't my fault. Mm-hmm. I still got to, versus I'm going to go real slow.
Right,
so in case he does dart out, hey, I have enough time to stop. There's a difference. You got to understand it. So, you know, I just know that, you know, he's paying a lot of money and he has a lot of money. It's not like it's an mm-hmm. R. Kelly situation. I don't mm-hmm. really think he'll ever see a jail cell, but I think the far worse punishment for him is, you know, he has to explain stuff to his family.
Mm-hmm.
So that's to me. So anyway, those are my thoughts. I appreciate you. Any final thoughts on that situation? Be good.
Nah, I'm good. If you commit a crime, you gotta do the time. whatever punishment that is. It don't have to be a jail cell. Maybe stay at home and I don't know, cry all day. I don't know. That's it.
Yeah. I think these days right here.
Bad boy.
I think the days of like.
I like this right here.
I think those days are, you know what I'm saying?
Talk to him.
I think that's over. So, because people already have stopped. And Peloton just announced that they've taken hit down all his music. So
that's
Peloton
it.
Peloton doesn't want to. But I mean, you know, Peloton is a big player. But it is what it is. All right, Z Rose Gold, thank you so much. More than just an interview. Be back next week. We're going to be talking about a lot of things. We're going to talk about some new shakeups in the world of Spotify. We're going to be talking about Rihanna and her billion-dollar company and how she's handling work life and obviously motherhood at the same time. We're also going to be tapping into the state of music when it comes to who is now the new faces of hip-hop. Who are the new faces? Who has taken the torch? I think it's safe to say that, you know, Drake's been there for a long time, but who are the new faces of hip hop? And also, we got to touch on R&B. We got to touch on R&B music. I got some questions for Zoe about for Zoe Rose, but why doesn't R&B music have the same feeling or impact or respect as it did back in the 90s when we had Donnell Jones and all the other guys back there, you know, and like Nex and, you know, Drew Hill and Jodeci, you know what I'm saying? It's just just a golden era. You know, of music, you know, if R&B has stopped. So we're going to tap in that next week and a few more things that Zoe want to talk about. Peace and love to everybody. More than just an interview. Stream us anywhere you listen to your podcast, but especially on iHeartRadio. Let's get peace.
Take that.
Man, you crazy. I ain't even going to get in that. We're going to keep that in the podcast, but I knew that was coming. I had a feeling that was coming. People know you got a sense of humor. I'm out of here, man. Peace.
All right. Bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Try Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost, built for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, incredible load times, and 24/7 WordPress priority support, your sites will be lightning fast with global reach. And with Bluehost Cloud, your sites can handle surges in traffic no matter how big. Plus, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. Get started now at Bluehost.com.